To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And verse 5 of Numbers chapter 12 says, And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the Bible says in verse 9, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. God sees all things and God knows all things. He hears your thoughts before you even think them. He knows what you're going to speak before you even speak it. God watches over his people. He even watches the just and the unjust. I beg your pardon. God watches over all his creation. He knows everything. Nothing surprises God. Nothing misses God. And I love what the verse says. It says, and suddenly God called them. Immediately as they messed up, God called them together. Amen. He spake suddenly is what verse 4 says. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He's like, come here. Let's just handle this right now. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, right away, God corrects sin. God doesn't let you sit in sin. Even like David, remember in scripture, David sat in his sin for an entire year when he committed adultery and murder. Amen. With Bathsheba. For an entire year, David sat in his sin. Because David sat in his sin for 1 year does not mean that God did not call David's sin to David's attention. Because you're sitting in sin, or because you continue in your ways and you're getting away with what you're doing, it does not mean that God has not spoken to you concerning the wrong that you're doing. Because the Bible says the minute that Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he married, the Bible says suddenly God called them. He didn't wait, because the Bible says he heard it. And they said in verse 2, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. The Bible says in Numbers 12 and 1, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. So they're gossiping against their brother, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Are you following this? And the Lord heard it. And the Bible says Moses was a very humble man. He was meek. Amen. The Lord heard them speak. And in verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly. In other words, come here right now. Let's fix this, because I don't want you sitting in your sin for a year. I don't want you continuing in your sin, thinking that what you're doing or what you're saying is okay with God, because no form of sin is okay with God. God has already given us in scripture, in the book of Galatians, what the fruit of the Spirit is. And if we say we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us, I don't remember in the book of Galatians, I think it's Galatians chapter 5, I do not remember the scripture telling us that gossiping is a fruit of the Spirit. No, it doesn't say that. Amen. And I often say this to people. If you do not have anything positive to say, say nothing at all. Jesus went into Simon's house, right? And a woman showed up, Mary. She showed up with an alabaster box. Mary was a harlot. Everybody knew Mary was a harlot. And she showed up. And the minute the harlot showed up in Simon's house, amen, she got on her feet. She got on her knees and she sat at Jesus' feet and she took the perfume and the ointment and she started to anoint Jesus' feet. She washed his feet with her tears. She used her hair to dry his feet, his dirty feet. Amen. And then she took an alabaster box of perfume, spikenard, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, anointed his feet with it. And while she was doing this, Simon did not open his mouth, but God knew Simon's thoughts. He heard his thoughts before he thought them. He heard Simon's heart before Simon even thought in his heart what he was going to speak negatively about Mary. And Jesus asked Simon, why are you talking these things in your heart about this young woman? Why are you speaking negatively in your heart about my servant? Is what God said to Simon. Simon had not opened his mouth, but God heard Simon's thoughts. He was like, if he knew who she was, he would not allow her to touch him. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows each and every one of us. And those who are judging and criticizing and finding fault and belittling others in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church, in the house of God. I'm not talking to the world. I am talking to the body of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is talking to you, Christian, you believers today. We are often tearing down our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says you must first remove the plank from your eyes so that you might see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. We're tearing one another down with our thoughts and with our words. And Jesus said to Simon, Simon, why are you thinking these things in your heart about this young woman? Okay, so she's a harlot. Jesus is not saying I'm happy with her lifestyle. He's happy with her lifestyle. Amen. And he's not asking you to be happy with her lifestyle either. That is not what he's asking you to do. He is saying, just be mindful of your words. Instead of speaking death, begin to speak life. Amen. Because if we continue to speak death over everyone that is walking contrary to God's word, they will continue to die and they will continue to live in their sinful ways. Jesus didn't say, don't touch me. He never scorned her. He addressed Simon. He never addressed her. He said, Simon, I came into your house. You never offered me water to wash my feet. You never washed my feet. But this woman, this harlot here, amen, she came in here. She has not stopped kissing my feet. She has anointed my feet with perfume. She has washed my feet with her tears. And she's used her hair to dry my feet. Amen. We're so busy criticizing the world and we're so busy criticizing those in the church who we think are walking contrary to the word of God. We're looking for every fault, everything wrong that we can find with others, other believers and those in the world. And we're missing what's wrong with us. The Bible says in Matthew 7:1, judge not, so ye be not judged, because with the same measure that you judge, you will be judged again. There's this story or this saying, you know, that you're talking about people and you have skeletons in your closet. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ did not come to die for a perfect people. He came to die for imperfect people. There is a man called blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, in the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says, and they came to Jericho in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should not hold, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, he calleth thee. Listen, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. This breaks my heart. This breaks my heart. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus is in Simon's house, and Simon is supposed to be a believer. And a woman comes in that is so desperately in need of Jesus' help, and she does not have it all together. But can I tell you, you don't have to have it all together to call on Jesus. Jesus didn't come to die for people that are saved. Jesus came to die for sinners. And she came into Simon's house. Do you think she didn't know that she was going to be scorned? Do you think she didn't know that she was going to be gossiped about? Do you think she didn't know that she was going to be looked down upon? But can I tell you that this daughter was so desperate. She was willing to go into a place where she knew she would not be welcomed. But she knew the Savior was there, and she was desperate to encounter the Savior. So she went where she knew she wasn't welcomed. And I just tell you, when people come into the house of God that don't have it all together, just allow them in so God can heal them, and God can help them, and He can save them. Remember what the scripture says, judge not so you be not judged. Can I tell you, Miriam and Aaron were wrong. They were so wrong because they spoke against Moses because Moses married a black woman. We have to stop. We have to stop. We should not speak against other people. We shouldn't speak contrary to God's ways. We are to be example to the world. This woman was the same woman that Jesus cast seven devils out of. She was desperately in need of the Savior. Blind Bartimaeus was screaming his lungs out. Do you know how long he sat by the roadside begging? He was a blind beggar. He was desperate to see. Do you know why he was crying out for Jesus? He heard that the Master was passing. He heard that the Savior was passing. And he had been sitting there blind and begging all this time. Yeah, people probably put a penny in his cup here and there. Amen. But guess what? None of them were able to heal him. So he's screaming, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wanted to see, and she wanted to be free. This harlot wanted to be free. That's why she showed up in a place where she knew she wasn't welcome. She showed up where she knew Jesus would be. Amen. If we say we love God, we are to love all of His people. Amen. He causes the sun to rise on the just and on the unjust. Bartimaeus cried out, and they told him to be quiet. Stop telling the world to be quiet. Stop telling those in the church that don't have it all together to be quiet when they're crying out for a Savior, when they're crying out for a healing, when they're crying out for deliverance. Believers, stop telling people to shut up about Jesus. We're not in a position to help. Listen, I can't deliver you off a tick if the Holy Spirit doesn't deliver you. Amen. There's no one that can be saved unless it's by the Spirit of God. Amen. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. Only God is able. And God wants us to be an example of who He is. We are to show Him to the world. Amen. We have to stop. Bartimaeus was blind. There was another man in John, in the book of John. And Jesus was passing by. Jesus was passing by. Is the book of John. Let me turn there. John chapter 9. Matthew, Mark. John chapter 9. And verse 1. Jesus is passing by. And this man was born blind, I believe, if I'm in the right book. John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. Yeah, so Jesus was passing by with his disciples one day, and he sees this man that was born blind. And his disciples ask him, Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which is born blind from his birth. And his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus is saying this young man is sitting there blind. He might not be, he's in your church, or he's in your family, or he works at your job, or he goes to your school. He is sitting there spiritually blind. He's doing his behavior, his lifestyle is contrary to the word of God. Jesus is saying he's sitting there in his blindness. He didn't sin to be born blind, to be blind. There is nothing that he did that contributed to him being blind. There is nothing that she did while she's physically or spiritually blind. It's so that the power of God can be shown in the earth, in the world. You don't know what people are going through. We do not know why people do the things that they do. We don't know. What we have to do is we have to speak biblical truths. We are to correct sin, but we are to do it by the Bible, by the word of God. We're not supposed to be using the Bible to condemn people. Amen? To death. God didn't come to condemn anyone to death. God came to give life to people that were spiritually dead. To give sight to those who are spiritually blind. Amen? To give hearing to those who are spiritually deaf. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to die that we all might live. You have to remember that you were once on your way to a burning hell. You have to remember you were once in Egypt. And someone had to have prayed and fasted you out of Egypt. And you have to extend the same grace to others that was extended to you. You have to leave the Bartimaeuses of the world alone and pray for those people. No one is saying to condone sin, but you can't throw people's sin in their face all day long and think that they're going to want to change. That's not how it works. You know, in scripture, the Israelites were oftentimes being delivered by God. Every time they messed up, God delivered them. They messed up, God delivered them. Do you know that the Israelites were no different from the Egyptians without God? Without God, you're no different than from the person that you're criticizing. Without God, Simon was no different from the harlot. She was in sexual sin, but he was in another type of sin. He was gossiping, he was murmuring, he was judging, he was criticizing. Miriam and Aaron were in sin. Aaron was a priest. He's supposed to know better. In the body of Christ, we're not supposed to be gossiping. There's not supposed to be strife. There's not supposed to be murmuring. There's not supposed to be judging. They're judging. Can I just read on in Numbers chapter 12? Because God always punishes bad behavior. You don't get to act up. You don't get to persecute. You don't get to injure others and think that God is not going to punish it. God always punishes bad behavior. Numbers chapter 12. And verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became what? Leprous, white as snow. Do you see that? I don't know why the Bible says suddenly the Lord spake unto Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. I don't know. I don't know if this is something that Miriam and Aaron had been practicing. I don't know why Miriam was the only one that God caused to become leprous. I'm just going to assume that she was the ringleader. Or maybe God struck her with leprosy first to give Aaron, the priest, the opportunity to look at himself as a leader in the church. He's supposed to know better. It gave him the opportunity to catch himself and pray and ask Mary, Moses to pray to God, to beseech God. He says in verse 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, he was shocked. He says, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. So he knew he was walking contrary to the word of God. You as a believer, you as a leader, you know when you're walking contrary to the word of God. He says, we have done foolishly wherein we have sinned. Gossiping, judging, criticizing, telling those who are starving for Jesus Christ to shut up and be quiet. Oh, you're praising too loud. It ain't got to be all like that. What? Leave people alone. Pray about the things that you do not understand. Blind Bartimaeus refused to be quiet. He shouted all the louder because he wanted to meet Jesus. When he heard that Jesus was passing, he was insistent in his calling. What? Jesus called him over and said, what can I do for you, son? And he asked Jesus to restore his sight. You see, blind Bartimaeus was able to see physically at one point in his life. He probably messed up, or he may not have messed up, just like the one that sat by the roadside. He was sitting by the way when Jesus and his disciples were passing. He was born blind. Bartimaeus, we don't know if an injury caused his blindness. We don't know what happened, why he lost his sight. There are a lot of people that gone blind from cataracts and glaucoma, sickness, accidents, people losing their eyes. We don't know. These people are physically oppressed. But the person that you are persecuting as a believer is spiritually oppressed. You cannot add insult to injury. If someone is already oppressed, you can't continue to oppress them. If someone is already in a hole, you cannot push them further into the hole with your words. You'll only bury them for good. He called out to Jesus for mercy and healing. There is in Mark chapter 8, there's another blind man. Mark chapter 8, verses 22-25. And it reads, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Okay, this man went through a process, a healing process. Jesus spat on this man's eyes. And Jesus asked him what he sees. And the man said, I see men as trees walking. You know, when someone is spiritually blind, it's a process for them to begin seeing clearly. You listen, they will stop that sin and then they'll probably slip back into that sin, back into that blindness. But we have to extend grace and mercy. If God placed his hand on this blind man once and he saw a little, he said, I see men as trees walking. I'm not seeing clearly. They might understand for a month or two. They might stop smoking for a week. They might stop hanging out in the club for a month. Amen. And then they find themselves going back into that sin. Jesus that touched them to begin, he can touch them again, just like he did with this blind man. It is not for you to judge. It is not for you to set a timeline when someone will be saved and delivered and set free. It is not for you. It is only by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, he plant, Apollos water, and God bring the increase. The Bible says, if he be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto himself. If you lift up Jesus and continue to lift up Jesus, he will draw them. But you're trying to play Jesus. Let God be God, because he alone is God. Stop using God's word incorrectly to tear people down. God is not condemning anybody to death. No, he is not. He is not condemning anyone to death, because any sinner can be saved. Because Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. Stop using God's word incorrectly. People coming into the house of God, seeking refuge, seeking mercy, seeking deliverance, and you telling them, oh, you're going to die and go to hell. No. No. Tell them, if you do not change your ways, there is a place called hell that you will go. But don't just condemn them to hell. Tell them there's a place called hell if they don't come out of their sin. Tell them it's not your desire for them to go to that place. Tell them that place was not created for them. Tell them that place was created for Satan and his demons and his cohorts and the false prophets and the Antichrist. Tell them that. But don't tell them you're just going to die and go to hell. You're living in sin. You're going to go to hell. No. No. Tell them, stop this sin. Tell them God loves you even though you're sinning. He loves you. He just wants you to not sin. That's what you tell people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You constantly reminding people of their past. Huh? When the Bible says your past is forgotten, God has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. You are constantly reminding that person of who they were. Huh? When that person is dead. That lifestyle is dead. What is wrong with the body of Christ? Hypocrites. So some people brought this blind man to Jesus and they asked Jesus to touch him. Jesus spits on the man's eyes and he lays hands on him. I wonder why Jesus, they said, touch him, Jesus. You're praying, touch her, Jesus. Save her, Jesus. Because she's living in sin and she's a harlot and her clothes is too short. And look at her. She smells thing when she come in. I smell the alcohol on him. Touch him, Jesus. Save him because he's a sinner. He's a wicked man. He's a liar. God is not listening to that crap. That is not how you pray for people. No. Oh, look at her. If he knew who was touching him, he would never let her touch him. You don't know Jesus. You don't know my God. Jesus took the man away from those hypocrites that brought him, pretending like you're praying, pretending like you want the person changed, pretending like you want the person healed, bringing the person to Jesus in prayer. Oh, Jesus. This church sister, oh Jesus, this church brother, touch him, Lord. Go in there like a Pharisee's. I fast and pray every day. I give 10th of all that I earn. All this nonsense. Huh? But this one over there and this was, shut up. What are you talking about? Jesus is not listening to that. He's not listening to you criticizing anybody. He's not listening to you tearing down anybody in any prayer. You are wasting your breath and your energy, your time. Because God is not hearing those type of prayers. And meanwhile, the poor girl is praying, God, I know I'm in sin. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. While you look at her, Lord, look at me. I'm living righteous. I'm living holy. No, you're not. You're fooling yourself. So Jesus took this blind man away from them. They brought him to Jesus and said, lay hands on him. Jesus took the man out of the town. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hand. He took him away from them. Hypocrites. Because, you know, he didn't want to hear the naysayers. And he didn't want the interference. And he didn't want them dictating to him how he should heal him. He didn't want them probably to even see him spitting on the man's eyes. Because how God is going to heal he or she is not how you expect it to happen. And what is God is saying, what's that to you? God says, what's that to you? What's that to you? What is it to you what God does for another? What is it to you how God does for another? What's that to you? Jesus asked him if he sees anything. The man looks up and says, I see men, they look like trees that are walking about. Jesus laid his hands on the man again. And the man looked as hard as he could. And he started to see. He started to see everything clearly. Let me tell you something. You see the same people you guys are persecuting? You better be careful. Because when they begin to see clearly, then they begin to see the real you. And the real you, you might not want them to see. Numbers 12:12. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Aaron is now Moses is now begging God for the same people that were persecuting him. You have to know the will of God. Know the will of God. You know, God has compassion on people who are suffering. He is slow. He is merciful. He's long-suffering with those who are suffering spiritually or struggling spiritually with sin. And he'll help them. Amen? There were two blind men. And they too called out to Jesus for healing. And Jesus asked them if they believed that he could heal them. And they said yes. And because they said yes, Jesus healed them. You have to know the will of God. He is the one that restores sight and speech. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they went, I beg your pardon, verse 31 of Matthew chapter 9. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. As they went out, behold, they besought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Even when Jesus has delivered the person, you're still saying that the person is not delivered. Saying Jesus didn't deliver the person. Jesus is a devil. Holy Spirit is a devil casting out devils. What is wrong with the body of Jesus Christ? What is wrong with the church? Even when the person is saying, I am out of this sin, you're still saying, no, you're not. Even when Jesus restored sight and restored speech, you're saying the person is still not healed. You know, Jesus has compassion on those who are suffering. And he is willing to help those who trust in him. You have to trust him. 1 John 2:6 says, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. God say, if you say you are Christ's, you're supposed to behave the way Christ behaved. Walk the way Christ walked. People are supposed to see Christ in you, through you. You are to be like Christ. You know, God takes very seriously a lack of trust and grumbling and complaining and murmuring against the ones he's appointed. God hates when you murmur and complain and judge and grumble and criticize those who he has appointed. Do you know what God's anger against Miriam was? His anger against her was because she spoke against the Ethiopian woman who Moses had married. Sounds simple. It's not simple. Ephesians 5 and 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Know the will of God before you open your mouth. You got to sustain the prophet. Don't reject the prophet. Sustain the Moseses in your life. Don't talk about the Moseses in your life. God's anger towards Miriam was because she spoke against the Ethiopian woman that her brother Moses married. God took that to heart. The Bible says he heard it and he wasn't pleased about it. He wasn't having it. Let it be God's way. Let it be God's glory. Let it be God's goodness. Let your life be like Christ. Let your actions be like God's. Let it be God's name. He's full of grace. And he's full of mercy. Exodus 33:19 says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." Moses prayed for Miriam and God said, okay, she messed up, put her out the camp for 7 days. And then after 7 days, she was healed of the leprosy. He chose to show mercy because he said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I'll be gracious to whom I will show grace to. The woman in Simon's house that washed Jesus' feet with her tears, God chose to show mercy to her. He chose to show grace to her. He chose to show mercy and grace to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the thief. Amen? He chose to show mercy to blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The man that was born blind, he spat on the ground and he took mud and put the paste on the man's eye and told him to go wash. And the man went and washed in the pool of Siloam and came back seeing. God chose to show him mercy. And you're telling him to shut up? Don't come around? Oh no. Oh no. Numbers 12:13-15. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." He said, "Please, Lord, heal her now." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again." And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And the pitiful thing, the embarrassing thing is about this is when God punish you, the congregation is going to know. When God punish you, the people around you that have been telling you to stop persecuting the people, the person is going to know that God has punished you. Because everybody knew they were waiting for her to be healed so she could come back to them. It doesn't have to be that way. Just find out what pleases the Lord. You can accomplish the will of the Lord, the will of God. You can accomplish the will of God in a way that is not pleasing to God. Do you know that? You can run God's church, you can run God's business, and it be a success. And it's not how God wants it done. You can still be successful. You can accomplish the will of God in a way that is not pleasing to Him, and you will think it's God. Can I just tell you, the pleasure and the presence of God goes hand in hand. If you want God in your midst, you have to please Him in all your ways. To have God's pleasure and presence, you have to walk upright. You have to do those things that are pleasing to Him. Jesus had compassion on these people in scripture that are suffering. You have to have compassion. Don't talk about your pastor. pray for your pastor. Don't do that. Don't talk about your brothers and sisters in church, in the body of Christ, or even not in your church that you encounter. Pray for them. And pray sensible prayers. Amen? Pray for people. Don't chastise people. Don't condemn people. John 9:31 says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he hear." So I told you, if you're praying wrong, God is not listening to you. He's not hearing you. The blind man, when the Pharisee says, "Oh, this Jesus, this, that, that, he's a false prophet, he's da, 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 you're a liar, you weren't really born blind, just don't want to believe the truth." The man says, "Listen, God doesn't listen to sinners. So this man has to be a worshiper of God for him to have opened." He said, "Have you ever heard of any man opening a blind man's eye? Anybody that born blind? No amount of surgery can do that." God doesn't listen to the prayers, sinful prayers. It's the will of God to heal people physically and spiritually. Amen. That's God's will. You have to know God's will and walk in it and please him. Hallelujah. Know the will of the Lord and find out what things please him. Then you have both his pleasure and his presence. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Remember, I told you, without God, the Israelites were no different from the Egyptian. Be different. Be like Moses. Moses talked to God as a person speaks to a friend. And God spoke clearly and directly to Moses. And that's what the type of relationship you should have with God. And that's the type of relationship God wants you to have with his people. God bless you.